good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this actually pleasant Friday morning. A little rainy here and there. We've already hit our high of 55 today. We're just going to trend downward as that cold front will be moving through the area today, and will drop us to the 40s later on today. But joining us in studio right now is, of course, State Senator-elect Virgil Peck. Joining us in studio this morning, Mr. Peck, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Kyle. Good morning to you. And by the way, as far as the weather you just mentioned, I prefer days like yesterday.
Oh, yeah. 72 and sunny.
Yeah. It was great. And it was calm in the evening time. There was zero wind.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, that's why pretty much after I got off work, I headed out to the lake. And I've been losing weight lately. I've lost like 15 pounds so far.
Congratulations.
So I do laps around the lake at LeClaire Park. And that's about a mile the entire thing. So I do a couple of laps, maybe two and a half or so like that, because I'll park on one side and then just walk over. So, but I got about two and a half in yesterday. So it was pleasant weather. I couldn't ask for better weather yesterday. Unfortunately, the cold front decided to remind us it's still fall.
I was going to say, this is December, and here in a little over a week, it'll be wintertime.
Yeah, and we're expecting snow on Sunday, so you got to love it. We have record highs one day. 2 days later, we have snow. Okay, so again, first of all, congratulations on winning the election to state Senate, and you will be heading up there for the legislative session on January 11th. So we'll go ahead and start a few things, talk about a few things, and one of the biggest stories in the nation going on right now, of course, is Kansas is joining the lawsuit with Texas and 17 other states about trying to results in, I do believe it's Pennsylvania, Georgia, Wisconsin, and Michigan.
Correct.
Getting those overturned because of irregularities in the election. And just kind of want to get your thoughts on that. I know AG Derek Schmidt was the one to help join the state in that.
Absolutely. Our Attorney General Schmidt has joined. Since he's the chief law enforcement officer in the state, he has joined the lawsuit as our state, the state of Kansas. The lawsuit, of course, is one of those things some people say, well, you know, just get over it and move on. But if the states who overwhelmingly supported President Trump for reelection, they feel like that if we don't at least take a look at Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, and the way that they handled the election, that the results will not be favorable to those particular states. Now, people say, oh, there's no corruption, there's no mishandling. I disagree with that. I think there's plenty, but we will find out. But the main reason I believe Texas has done this is to get the issue before the United States Supreme Court, because that's where it ultimately will go.
Mm-hmm.
And then the United States Supreme Court can hand it off to Congress to decide. So it's one of those issues where this is December the 11th and the election has still not been decided officially.
Yeah,
now, in some people's mind, it has.
And the electors, they vote, what, on Sunday, correct? The 13th, for the actual electoral votes to go in. I think it's actually this Sunday. So that may be put on hold, though, due to this case. So we'll see what happens. And like you said, if it goes to the Supreme Court and they hand it off to Congress, I do believe the Senate elects the vice president and the House, I think, elects the president. So you could have a weird thing there where you have a president and a vice president from two different parties. So it's very interesting. We'll see how that works out. It's definitely historic what's going on as of right now.
It is. During our lifetime, we have never seen anything like this. I know you're younger than myself, but most Americans have never seen anything like what we're facing. And we do want our elections to be secure. We do want them to be honest. So that's all part of the process. Had there not been so many questions and so much conduct that was not always transparent, we could have moved forward a lot sooner. But
absolutely. And then, of course, moving on here, Governor Kelly, she put out a executive order about COVID testing being required for certain areas, including like in nursing homes, people who work at nursing homes and other places like that.
She did sign a new EO. And it's a 69th EO, executive order, I'm sorry, EO. We, as legislators, we use a lot of acronyms.
Right. No, we use a ton here as well. So,
executive order requiring COVID testing for certain adult care homes. Yes, sir. And that is new. Now, centers who are controlled by CMS, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which is a federal program, some of them already have similar testing requirements. So this does not affect those. But those under state control, the governor's EO does affect required testing, COVID-19 testing in these adult care homes. So that's an issue that we're all dealing with. It's something that some people believe that it's, you know, the end of the world. Some people believe it's overblown, and I can understand both arguments. There's one thing, Kyle, I will just bring up that I don't know why it's not discussed more as it relates to COVID. I think we always hear about all the mask mandates and the physical distancing and so forth. But if everyone would do a better job of trying to make certain that they have a strong immune system, I believe that would make a difference. I know that's something me and my wife work hard at, having a strong immune system. When we went through our experience with COVID, hers was a little more severe than mine. But by being strong with an immune system, it helps. Now, I'm not trying to tell the listeners that that's a way to end COVID or not to end up getting COVID at all. But it's just something that I believe should be a part of the discussion. I never hear anybody talking about it. I'm sure it's talked about somewhere, but
right,
not much.
All right. So, again, COVID still kind of front and center on a lot of things. But, of course, you know, the election, of course, was this year and you got elected. But there are quite a few new freshmen senators and representatives joining the legislative session this year, including five who have no experience in politics, that basically just brand new, and that's going to bring kind of a different spin on the legislative session this year.
It will. It always takes a little while to come up to speed on the legislative process if you've never been involved in it, to learn exactly how things work and so forth. I'm going to back up just a little bit, because you were right. There are 13 freshmen in the Kansas Senate this time around. In 2016, there were about 14 freshmen. In 2012, there were about 15 freshmen. So there's been a significant turnover. And it's interesting, Kyle, the 13 freshmen that are coming in moves the Kansas Senate to the right philosophically, much more conservative. I'm a part of that movement. In 2016, the Kansas Senate moved significantly to the left. In 2012, the previous election, it has swung back. It was to the right. And it's interesting to me to see these swings back and forth in the Kansas Senate philosophically. Of course, in 2012, that was a year when conservatives really took a lot of seats. Governor Brownback was there, and he pushed for a lot of conservatives to be elected. And then in 2016, because of the tax legislation that had passed and the legislature had refused to step up and make some correct adjustments to that needed to be made, voters then put in people who were willing to make some changes. However, Kyle, I don't believe voters expected the legislature to increase their taxes like they did. They increased everybody's taxes. The largest tax increase in the history of Kansas was passed in 2017, following the 2016 election. They just wanted fairness as it relates to all taxpayers being involved, because the LLCs, the sole proprietors, the sub-S corporations, they were paying zero income taxes prior to that tax legislation. And I personally believe that is what voters wanted, was that corrected, not the massive tax increase. So since the legislature didn't really get that message, increased taxes significantly, now in 2020, we're moving back to the right. I believe the reason I even bring all this up is two reasons. One, for the information of the listeners. But also, I believe it's important for legislators to understand what it is that the voters are looking for. They're looking for something not extreme right, not extreme left, more center,
right,
if you will.
Yeah, something close to that. That's why it's wobbled kind of back and forth in 12, 16, and 20, where it just kind of wobbles back and forth a little bit. And that shows that most people want something close to the center that everybody can agree with. That way, we can basically have bipartisanship on a lot of things, because that's when stuff, where I think, works out the best.
Bipartisanship, sadly, is becoming harder to come by. I first was elected to the Kansas House in 2004, and even though, of course, we disagree philosophically fairly strongly, I had a good relationship with a lot of Democrats, and I will be working on that as a Kansas senator. I'm a conservative Republican, mainstream Republican. No one's going to deny that, but there's no need in the bickering that goes on. Sure, we'll have our differences in our philosophical beliefs, but that doesn't mean you can't at least listen to each other.
Right.
And you should voice your thoughts and your positions with respect rather than antagonism. And I've watched the legislature for a lot of years, and it's disappointing the antagonistic way that some legislators go about it. But back to what you said, it is interesting. I found it interesting. And, of course, I know the Republicans because having been involved with some meetings and get-togethers, we were in Topeka on Tuesday for leadership elections, which we'll hit here in just a little bit. But then we had freshman orientation. And I'm considered a freshman, even though I have 12 years of legislative experience. But only five of the 11 Republicans do not have legislative experience. That means six do, meaning they came from the House. Some of them were only in the House. One lady that was elected from Western Kansas was only in the House about a year and a half. And by the way, one of the new that has zero legislative experience is a 28-year-old young lady from Johnson County. And me being 61 years of age, 28 years of age, Kyle, that's almost young enough to be a granddaughter. But being a senator, there are different procedures. That's the reason I went ahead and went through the freshman orientation in the Senate versus the House. One big one is we voice vote in the Senate. Roll call, they just name your name. I ask because they always start with A. And I've often thought, well, if my name started with an A, that means I vote right off the bat.
Right.
I ask, well, have you ever thought about reversing the order sometimes starting with? And they probably won't make any changes.
No. Okay, let's start with Z or start it in the middle. Some of that. Let's start with M and we'll just kind of work all the way around that way.
I think that would be interesting to do that, but not likely to happen. Right. But that's one thing that's different. Also, getting just a little technical here for anyone who may or may not care, but in the House, they operate by Mason's Legislative Manual. Most people think that in the Kansas House, they probably operate according to Robert's Rules of Order. No, they operate according to Mason's Legislative Manual, which is similar to Robert's, but is different. However, in the Senate, we will be operating under Robert's Rules of Order. So that will be a learning curve a little bit for me because I'm used to Mason's Legislative
right.
Manual.
Just slight differences there, but quite a few freshmen coming in for this new legislative session. And, of course, the budget was originally set at one area, and it sounds like that it's not going to be completely falling off the cliff like we were talking about off-air before we came on, that it's going to be a little bit better than that was originally expected.
And that is good news for the legislature, actually for the Kansas economy, because original projections back in April of this year, when the Consensus Revenue Estimating Group met, was that the fiscal year that we were looking at, which is fiscal year 2022, looked like there was going to be $1.5 billion budget deficit. Whereas now, because revenue has come in for the last 3 months that exceeded projections, and so we're looking better from a revenue standpoint. So that will make it less likely that there will be major cuts. I still believe we should make cuts. There's efficiencies in government, just like about everywhere else. So we will need to make some adjustments. It's going to be interesting to look and see, because of COVID, we have our eyes open to some things we'd probably never thought of before. Now, I don't have an answer, but it will be discussed as it relates to virtual learning. Is that going to cost a lot less for school districts, meaning that we can have some efficiencies and some money savings there? I don't know, but I believe that it will be looked at. There will be statistics brought in. There will be argument one way and then argument the other way. Or maybe I should say discussion rather than argument. But that's a possibility of some efficiencies there. However, some students do great with virtual learning. Some do not do great. And overall, it appears that our educational system is struggling because of not having the commitment from some parents, not having the hands-on or face-to-face learning. I've talked to teachers since being elected in August, and they tell me they're not saying masks should not be worn, but they say that they're hindering their learning experience for some children. Because you cannot see a person's mouth, you can't, and read their lips. Plus, we all know, talk through a mask, it's going to be a little bit muffled.
Mm-hmm.
And so teachers are having a little trouble understanding some students. So those are issues that we will talk about. But fortunately, the budget is looking better. And because of the new Senate leadership, which we elected Monday, as I had mentioned, totally brand new Senate leadership from a Republican standpoint. New president, new vice president, majority leader, assistant majority leader. And I even had the privilege of making the nominating speech for our Republican whip, which ended up being Richard Hildebrand from over in Cherokee County. So Southeast Kansas representation there, and I nominated Richard. But our new president, Ty Masterson from Andover, I've known him because he came into the House right after I did, said that he would like to see us look at some tax adjustments or some ways to, just look at taxes and mm-hmm. see if there are some ways that we can make some adjustments to leave more money in the pockets of taxpayers. So we'll see. But my point in bringing that up, Kyle, is with the budget looking better, there's a better opportunity to look at some tax reform.
Okay, and we got about 3 minutes left here. So one thing I did want to ask you to kind of wrap it up, what are you wanting to see on this legislative session, like some bills that are being introduced? And you said that you're helping co-sponsor a couple of bills within the first 40 days.
Correct. I have an understanding of the process. I know what I need to do to get bills introduced, and I will be working on that. Pardon me, having a little bit of problem with frog right. this morning.
You're fine.
But I do want to see us do some things for our military veterans that we should have done, I believe, in the past. And that will be a piece of legislation that I will be introducing, I will be authoring. And that would be to provide a sales tax exemption for our disabled military veterans. A lot of states, Kyle, around the United States do a much better job than Kansas does of recognizing and supporting our veterans. My idea is to provide a sales tax exemption, which won't be big to disabled veterans, but it's a little show of appreciation for when they buy their groceries and personal hygiene items, cleaning supplies for their home, so forth. It's not going to be nothing like what Oklahoma has. Oklahoma disabled veterans, if you're disabled because of your military service, you don't pay any taxes. Income tax, sales right. tax, property tax, etc. So I'd like to see us have a sales tax exemption for military veterans. Also, I would like to see Kansas allow our voters to vote on tax increases just like Oklahoma and Missouri do. That's a piece of legislation that I will be introducing. Term limits, we've already talked about the fact that term limits, or there's been a fairly significant turnover in the Kansas Senate over the last election cycles, but I still believe that we should have term limits because we had one senator who lost in the election who had been there 44 years, mm-hmm. way too long. So that'll be another piece of legislation I'll be introducing. And there's a couple more. We'll talk about those in the future. I appreciate the opportunity to be in here this morning. Look forward to the opportunity every month.
Oh, and I absolutely appreciate you coming in today and talking about what's going to be going on. And, of course, by the time next time we'll talk to you, you'll be it'll be right before we start the next legislative session. We'll actually be the Friday before the next legislative session. But, Virgil, thank you so much for coming in today. We really do appreciate it, taking some time out of your day to talk with us today. And we will see you again in about a month.
Well, I appreciate it. And I do want to say Merry Christmas to everyone out there, because I won't see him before Christmas, Kyle.
All right. You have a Merry Christmas as well.
Thank you.